host Paul Roberts, the editor-in-chief at the Security Ledger. In the days since Republican candidate Donald Trump scored a surprise Electoral College victory over Hillary Clinton to become the president-elect of the United States, much attention has been given to where the notoriously shifty Trump might come down on the issue of cybersecurity. Candidate Trump devoted at least one major address to the topic, and just days before the election reiterated an earlier pledge to do a top-down review of government systems with a, quote, cyber review team. But if you want to know what kinds of policies and priorities President Trump might have in regard to cybersecurity, a good place to start is with one of his closest advisors, Michael Flynn, a former United States Army Lieutenant General who served as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, commander of the Joint Functional Component Command for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, and the chair of the Military Intelligence Board between 2012 and 2014. Prior to that, he served as Assistant Director of National Intelligence. Flynn was an informal advisor to many Republican candidates and became a close advisor to candidate Trump throughout the campaign. I had the opportunity to speak with retired General Flynn at an event in Boston in early October for a piece I was writing for Christian Science Monitor Passcode. Here, I'm releasing the full recording of our conversation with some minor edits for coherence. Here, retired General Flynn talks at more length about his vision and what might be Trump's vision for a review of government cybersecurity and about the relative importance of cyber offense or strike back capabilities. We're going to start off with my first question to General Flynn, and the podcast covers the entirety of our interview. I started out by asking Lieutenant General Flynn to talk about how his background in military intelligence informed his understanding of the cybersecurity problem and possible solutions. You're going to hear some intermittent squeaking, which is the general rocking on the chair he was sitting in as I asked him questions.
I think that we need really probably three tracks that and this is just purely from a government sort of national security perspective. I think the first track is that we have to create a what I would kind of call, and this is really going to have to come with the leadership, what I would describe as a storyteller in chief. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the storyteller in chief has to be someone who can, for the country, who can be the individual, in this case it's probably an individual at a very leader level, and then you create, you know, you create sort of acolytes once you get it going. But the storyteller in chief has to simplify what it is, you know, what is a very complex issue. You know, because people think of cyber and they think of ones and zeros and it's all technical stuff, and it's actually not, you know. And I equate it to you know, I have done some studying up on just in my military history on castle warfare. Uh-huh. You know, so you build a castle with walls and a moat, and you know, and you try to protect everything, right? Well, the Internet of Things has changed our lives, you know, immensely. Well, even during the days of castle warfare, you needed to still do commerce, so you had to, you know, open up the gate, and you had to drive with the stagecoach out to the road, and you have to cut through the, you know, Sherwood Forest, and in those days it was a physical, you know, threat out in the woods. Today it's bots and sentinels and virtual threats along the path of commerce, like we talked about in the room. So we have to simplify the story for not only the you know, the world of commerce and the world of the sort of the private public sector. We have to simplify the story for the average person. And I think that we need a storyteller in chief. I think the second area is there has to be, you know, we create these task forces, which are ad hoc, sort of thrown together organizations. And there's, you know, there's cyber task forces. There's, you know, there's JTTFs, Joint Terrorism Task Forces. There's all these task forces that are thrown together. I think what we need to have is we need to have a more of a sort of a federal state level, and then at the state level they can create their own state local. But we need to have a task force that is sort of routinely operates together, meaning very often, maybe daily. And that task force has to be led by a combination of federal, state, but also the private sector. And there has to be some legislation that allows it to operate and understand what's going on in the environment. We want to be able to make better decisions. We want to be able to make decisions. The outcome or the product of this task force would be to help support decision making for everything from legislation to the laws, the policies, the regulations that we might have to create in order to operate in this world, because we don't want to slow down. In fact, we can't. We can't slow down technology. We can't slow down the speed of information. So there has to be some acknowledgement that this has to be created, and it can't just be come together once a month, have a conversation, or even once a quarter and have a conversation and put out some report. This has to be something that operates, on a very, very routine basis. It doesn't have to physically operate, like I just talked about. You can operate sort of virtually. And I think that the third area, the speed that the world is moving in right now or at right now, it's moving at such a high rate of speed that government is not capable of keeping up with the commercial industry. Yet in the commercial industry, it used to be where government would be the innovator. Actually, specifically inside of the government, the Defense Department was always a very, very innovative place to be, because we created all kinds of things. We created, global positioning satellite system. We created secure communications. I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, the world of sort of DARPA created the internet. Whereas today, that the big shift is that in the commercial side, there's enormous innovation, and the government is finding itself way, way beyond, on the wrong side of the power curve. So there has to be an acknowledgement of that, and there has to be some means to speed up how the government functions in this world. And so there has to be an acknowledgement that we are falling behind. Two, that we need to look at how we innovate, how we acquire. So the acquisition system that we have in our government is so broken, and we have to look at how things are funded. And there's still, Congress still funds, everything through, there's sort of the power of the purse, right? So, and Congress is still doing things on an antiquated model, very antiquated model. Whereas the commercial sector is kind of going, hey, we're moving in this direction. We would love to help out the government, but you guys can't get your act together, and we've got to go survive. We've got to go make money. And and sort of the capital will go to wherever the customers are, right? And so I think that the government has to speed up its entire system, its entire business process, in order to survive. Otherwise, it won't survive.
So your career in the military really spans the period in which cyber went from a non-existent issue,
right,
or certainly a very niche issue, to
right,
where there's a cyber command, right?
Yep.
So what, I'd be interested in kind of your impressions on sort of having been a spectator,
yeah,
or a participant,
sure,
actually,
sure,
as that happened.
Yeah.
And also maybe to the extent that the problem got away from us to the
mm-hmm.
point where there were incidents like OPM,
sure,
and attacks on...
There's been attacks on all kinds of stuff.
Weapon
yeah.
systems and so
yeah.
on, or theft of information,
yeah,
critical weapons. Kind of where we lost the plot in terms of our ability to,
yeah,
detect and respond to cyber threats. So
yeah,
just your sense, having been...
Well, and we're going through it again. I mean, again, there's a, inside of the government right now, there's a big argument about sort of what next,
mm-hmm,
okay? What do you do with cyber command and the National Security Agency, which has been sort of the National Security Agency is sort of the foundation of what has become our cyber capability,
sure,
right?
Right.
And the National Security Agency, and you can describe that to your readers however you want, but so what's next?
My readers know.
Yeah, yeah, so, well, I mean, so what's next? And I think what is next is we need to have we have cyber components in all the services, but it's still an antiquated model of how they get resourced and how they function and how they operate. And frankly, particularly how they operate and the levels of authorities that they don't have, the overbearing oversight of the federal level of our government, particularly the executive branch. I mean, never mind the legislative side, but the executive side. And I think that, you know, sort of what's next is we are going to have to, and this is where I think the commercial world, and is particularly with organizations like Black Duck, because I think it's such an innovative company, that we are going to have to create task forces in the commercial world, because you're not going to be able to turn to your government and go, hey, I need help. I mean, there's only 17,000 agents in the FBI, okay, guys and gals that actually do investigations. So 17,000, there's 34,000 police in New York City. So, you know, when you lay out all the different things that just the FBI has to deal with. So here's what happens today. A cyber attack occurs at a bank, okay? What do? They call up the FBI, the local FBI agent, the special agent in charge of wherever, whatever city that they're mm-hmm. that they're in. And they say, hey, we think we've had a cyber breach. It's done X. You know, we're trying to keep it quiet, you know, until we can figure out what to do. I mean, so this is all real stuff that's going on today. The FBI, I can tell you what the FBI told a hospital that was where they shut down the emergency room.
Presbyterian.
Yeah. Yep. So what did they tell what did they tell them?
Pay the ransom.
Pay the ransom. Right. Okay. Pay the ransom. You know why? Because we don't have enough resources to deal with it.
Right.
And it's a big deal for you, but the ransom, pay the, whatever it was, 20K, pay the ransom.
Right.
So hospitals, banks, the food industry,
right,
the apparel industry, everybody is going to have to create their own little cyber commands to deal with their problems. And frankly, if one of the things that I'm also recommending to large companies is you have to have a chief intelligence officer, because intelligence is much more than just the way, you know, you might think about intelligence or the way I was brought up in the world of intelligence. It's about situational understanding of the operating environment in which you are operating within. That's what intelligence is about. So you can apply that to the food service industry, or you can apply that to, you know, the South China Sea.
Right. The Obama administration did a cyber sprint in the last mm-hmm. year. Two things came out of that. One was the government has tremendous problems with IT and cyber talent,
yeah,
just detracting the
yep,
people.
That's right.
Do the heavy lifting. And the other was that there needs to be more coordination, that there are a lot of different isolated programs and going
yeah.
on, but the awareness across the government and even within particular
sure.
Departments about cyber initiatives was low.
Even within, I mean, I found it in my own agency. Just in my own agency, you know, the collaboration required just in, you know, in a little old DIA. So, and, you know, you're trying to break these walls down. You're trying to increase transparency. It's funny. On one side, on the intelligence side, you're trying to protect information
right.
on one hand, but you also need to be far more transparent. So it's this sort of dichotomy that you're dealing with. But I've always been, and as an intel guy, I've been investigated for it. Transparency is paramount. It's critical,
right.
And so you have to be, because you're as a commercial entity, you have to be transparent with your investors. You got to be transparent with your stockholders because they want to know what the heck's going on. Otherwise, I'm not going to invest in you. I don't want to buy your stock.
Right.
So there's got to be a level of transparency. And the other thing I learned this in combat, that the more trust I gave, the more I got back.
Okay.
So the more trust I gave to individuals or to groups, the more trust I got back from them, because I was being so transparent with them,
right.
and we were very, very successful, in things that were at 5 years prior to that were some of the most sensitive operations that our country did.
So you are an advisor to the presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Yep.
So he gave a speech last week in Virginia focused on cyber.
Yep.
Sort of said a number of things. One is that he would order a top-down review.
An audit of
the government's cyber operations. The other was
and then maintain an auditing capability to constantly audit what is going on in this, to get at your last question.
What does that look like, I guess?
Well, it looks like, you know, as he described, he said the best experts that we have in our military, in our private sector, in the commercial, and across our government, to be able to do the kind of auditing so we are ensuring that we're following, across the board, we're following the procedures that have already been put in place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like...
Does that look very different from what President Obama, Sprint and...
Yeah, it doesn't exist. I mean, it doesn't exist right now. So what you described in your earlier question was, why we still have a bunch of stovepipes. So what I want to be able to do is I want somebody outside of my organization. Instead of the IG, the Inspector General community, because people are going to turn and go, well, we have IGs. No, actually, I want a different
another layer above that.
I want something that comes into my organization and looks at my organization and says, you've got some severe problems.
Right.
I don't want somebody in my organization doing that.
Right.
And from a government perspective. Now, from a commercial perspective, companies do this all the time. Companies, he's got an international, believe me, have you seen too much stuff coming out of the, Trump International in terms of cyber attacks?
Well, Trump Hotels was a victim of a large scale cyber.
Yeah, but you haven't seen bad, and it's because they're not perfect, but they pay really close attention to cyber. Mm-hmm. So the idea is it's beyond compliance. It has to be beyond compliance. It has to be the auditing of the functions that you are doing that cross and touch each other and not just in your own little world.
On the Trump campaign data or the Trump corporation data, there's been suggestions that that the government of Russia has been taking a position in this race and has been working on behalf of or working to expose data on Democratic organizations. We've certainly seen a lot of leaks of Democratic organizations, not so much the RNC and the other side of the ticket. What's your position on that? Donald Trump
doubts
about whether Russia was to blame. The folks like CrowdStrike and within the security community seem mm-hmm. pretty clear that this fancy bear is basically an extension of
I mean, a state-backed attack against our political against anything okay, it's not surprising,
right?
What they have decided to do and what they have decided to expose, we'll have to wait and see if there's anything else to come out. I mean what's been exposed is the level of corruption. I mean, there's an enormous level of corruption that's been exposed in our election system. So it's sad that the Department of Justice, isn't doing anything about it. Whereas, Julian Assange, everybody's hoping that Julian Assange does what the Department of Justice should be doing.
So you're willing to believe the sort of fancy bear storyline that seems to make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to make sense that there is a concerted effort to understand what's going on in our political campaigns. Yeah.
Does that concern you as a former intelligence?
Always does. Yeah. I mean, what is it that they're looking to do? If they're looking to expose, corruption, they're looking to expose weaknesses in the capitalistic system that we have, right? So we're a republic, we're capitalism is our sort of way of life.
Yeah.
And why, we should not be surprised that a communist state run by a totalitarian dictator wants to expose the weaknesses of capitalism. and frankly show the level of corruption that exists in our political process, which is part of why I think that there's so many millions of people that are looking at a guy like Donald Trump and saying, please do something about it.
So one of the other points that that candidate Trump
so
made.
So
one of the other kind of ideas that he brought up was on cyber offense, and he sort of is a vocal proponent not only of good cyber defense, but also cyber offensive capability by the U.S. government, and potentially by individual agencies that might be attacked. One of the issues that security experts have around cyber offense is, of course, attribution. You know, if you strike back, and especially strike back quickly, as you proposed, are you hitting at the right target?
Yeah.
So how do you, as somebody who knows about this pretty well, how do you balance the desire to strike back quickly and effectively with the complications around attribution?
We have capabilities that are very good, and we have them down at very tactical levels. And so we cannot win playing on one side of the playing field, on the defensive, you know, in the defensive end, right?
Right.
You're only going to win is if you are able to go on the offensive once in a while, and do it in a smart way.
Yeah.
In an unfair way, okay? In a very unfair way. Because in order to win, you know, you want to have an unfair advantage.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. Not overwhelming, because that's different than having an unfair advantage.
Right.
Yeah, because I know Lou's going to come in and do a thing, right? Yeah.
You've been listening to an interview with retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He's a top advisor to President-elect Donald Trump.